So Pastor Jeff is out of town. He's up climbing, I don't think it's the Himalayas, but something would be just as treacherous if I was out there, because I'm not a hiker, I'm not a mountain climber, I'm none of those, unless I'm after something and have a gun strapped to my back. Then I can go places where most men won't go. But other than that, I'm going to keep my feet down here. But he's out doing what brings life to him. And Mr. Gary, I think, is with him, and Isaiah. And there'll be a few bumps and bruises come back from a few falls. But you know what? I think they're going to come back with all their parts. So that's a good thing. But that's what brings them alive. Keep in mind the things that bring you alive. God wants to give you your dreams and your desires so that he can grant you your dreams and your desires. See, we get to a certain age and we quit dreaming. We get the house and we get the good-looking trophy wife on your arm, and you get a few kids, you get a couple cars and drive, and you quit dreaming. God has so much more. Man, if you're done dreaming, why don't you go back and check with God again? I think he's going to open up a whole new chapter for you. And, you know, I read the old boys from the children of Israel who were in their 80s. They just crossed over. And God says, you want that land at 80? Get your sword out and get up there and get after it, Jackson. You know, and those men, they didn't quit dreaming. They were dreaming for the houses that God had built for them, the treasures that God had left for them. God has things planned for you that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and you can't even fathom. So I know you've had some heartaches. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, living beyond your hurts and your hang-ups. I know you had some hurts. You're bumped, you're bruised, you're beat up. But God hasn't given you permission to stop. God did not give you permission to sit and quit. Now, he does give you permission to take time and mourn. He does give you permission to take time and get healed. But once that's done, he wants his sons and daughters back up and moving in a forward direction. Because you have so much that you can give. So much that he wants to require from you. There's a day that we're going to end up in heaven, every last one of us. And we're going to have to give accountability for what we did or what we didn't do. You know, and the Bible talks about this. I mean, the story of the talents, we can derive this out of that there's a requirement going to happen for the things that he's given us. And he's given each and every one of you talents. I can guarantee we could sit down here and each and every one of you can do some things that I can't do. I can't do no double gainer backflips, just so you guys know. I cannot do that pole vault thing. I can do a lot of other things, but I can't do those. I can't play the guitar. I can strum on it, but you would not want to hear it. See, so God gives us each a gift, and he gives us things to go do. And then he gives us a heart. And your go do may just be being nice to others. Your go do may be having a good word for the lady or the young man that serves you at the restaurant. Some of you are going to go today. I challenge you to be nice to them. Even when you get lousy service. Oh, because you will at times. You will get some bad service. But then there's times you'll get great service. But any time in there, represent the Lord. So we're talking about hurts and hang-ups, and we all have them. So who or don't you, or don't three, but the two in the middle when you get your hurts. There's two schools of thought. There's actually three, but the two we're going to talk about. Some talk to no one. They pull that hurt and they pull it in and they begin to isolate. They stay away from others. They think, hey, I can handle this. I can do it on my own. And they begin, when you don't have somebody that you're rubbing against, as the proverb says, as iron sharpens iron, we begin to live with our arms locked. So we keep people away. So the school of thought is no one, where you go into isolation. If you're in isolation, the enemy is like a herd. No. The enemy is like a pack of wolves that will cut you out of the herd, and he will actually devour you. That's what he's waiting for. And you think, oh, I'm being self-sufficient. Bert, don't be silly. I'm being self-sufficient. I can do all the things on my own. No, that ain't what he says. Let me tell you what he says in James 5:16. Now, this is a verse that you should hang on to. This is a verse anytime you want to isolate and hang on, go off by yourself, bring this one back up. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray. Confess your sins, confess your hurts, confess your bumps, your bruises, and whatever's going on in your life. Pray for each other so that you can be healed. And then I'm going to confess, you're going to pray for me, then I get to be healed. See, can Jesus just come down with you alone and touch you? Yeah, he can, and he's probably done that at times. But that is not his formula for you getting healed. That is not his formula for you getting free. That is not the steps. He says, because it goes on a little further, he says, because the prayers of a righteous person, in that same room with me after I've confessed and they've prayed, they are powerful and effective. Those words just weren't written because they sound good together. Those words are written because they have meaning, because we get to use them. And how many years since those were written, and I today still get to use these words? I do 7 men's groups a week around the city. And a James 5:16 is what we do at least once every time. So every time we get told from the things that have been on their hearts and their lives for many, many years. Are there some that don't get healed? Absolutely. There are. But it ain't because we didn't walk through the steps. There's still more that needs to be done in their heart. And so just be careful that today as I talk that you check where you are in your heart. Do I have anything in there that I need to get out on the table and clean up? Do I have anything that I need to talk to? Here's the deal I'll make to all each and every one of you. I made this to the first group this morning. If you don't have anybody to talk to, every man should have 1, 2, 3 guys he can go to and tell everything and knows everything about him. I think I've got about 50 or 60 to know way too much about me. And then, and it's uncomfortable. It's not always warm and fuzzy. Every woman should have 1, 2, 3 women that know everything about them. I dare to say most of you don't, but I'm just daring to say. I could be totally wrong. But at the end of that, if you don't have somebody and you need somebody, I'll talk to you. If it's a couple, me and my wife will talk to you. If it's a woman and you need somebody, I'll get another woman to sit down and talk to you. And guess what? I'll even buy the coffee. I'll go the distance with you. Because there's just something about someone hearing my heart. When my heart's heavy and it's broken and it's carrying some stuff, man, and I can carry some stuff for a while. The problem is, I told you a moment ago, it's okay to mourn, it's okay to sit, it's okay to sit in your hurt for a little while. A lot of people don't know how to mourn. They don't know what that looks like. They expect there's some sort of prescription somewhere. There isn't. I can't tell you how long that's going to take. Only the Lord can do that. I can't tell you what it's going to take to mend your heart. Only the Lord. And for some, it's quick, and they've mourned and they've got up and they moved. I remember my brother talking to me after he lost his first wife to cancer. We were sitting and talking, and somebody says to him, "Well, did you even take time to mourn?" He says, "I don't know. I really don't know what you're talking about." He says, "I cared for her every day for the last 7 years she was alive. I was her carekeeper." And he says, "I mourned every day. The dreams and the hopes and the future." So I really don't know what to tell you. Have I mourned enough or not enough? He says, I hated to see her go, but she's in a much safer, better place, and she's not hurting today. He says, so I hope that answered your question. And I just loved his response to that. because we don't know what it takes, what it looks like for others to mourn. So we have those that talk to no one, and then we have others who get hurts, bruises, and all that talk to absolutely everyone. Everyone's going to be a problem of their hurt, their gripe. And in that, they use them to build a clan, to build a group, to, if you guys are mad at me, pull in another 10, 12 people, and then there's a crowd, then there's a mass that can be mad at me. You know what? I get that, but it's not healthy. It's not healthy for you, and it's definitely not healthy for me. I mean, I don't want to be at the end of 12 of you folks. So you got to choose where to go on that. The other one is, who do I talk to when I'm hurt? I talk to the people I trust, the people who are in the foxhole of life with me every day, those that I call upon in my darkest hour, my darkest need, those that have committed to being with me. And we talk it through, and we pray together, and there's healings come. So those are kind of the three perspectives on what we can do if we don't. There's some do's and there's some don'ts on when this happens. You share with others that are trusted. You do seek help. I mean, if you're going to go into isolation and all, there's not much help. Actually, you're not going to find any. And you find those trusted friends. There's some don'ts. You don't want to talk to those that talk too much, because your business will be everybody's business, so be careful of that. I don't even have to mention their names. You guys know who they are. And we've all had a few in our lives. I hope not too many. And don't sit in the mud with those that wallow, because you're just going to end up all dirty and all muddy with them there. And they will let you sit in there with him. And another thing you don't want to do is don't make vows. Vows are something that the Lord will come and deal with you on if you make. I will never let another man, I will never let another woman, I won't let that happen ever to me again. I'm not going to. These are things that you want to be very careful with speech and take it to the Lord. And now you have feelings, and you may not want to ever go have lunch with that person that hurt you again. But don't make vows. And if you have, I made a lot of vows in my life. You know, I had a pistol put to my head twice when I was a young boy by someone I trusted dearly. I was sexually abused by someone that I trusted. I was ridiculed, and there was a lot of abuse in my life. So I know the places where these hurts can come up. I've lost some really close loved ones, and in the midst of that, I've had to go, Lord, I need to break the vows I made back then. I made vows. I'll never let another man do that to me again. I'm not going to. And it was such a simple process that the Lord led me to. He says, this is holding you back. He says, it's so simple. Just bring these vows to me. Write them on paper if you want. Do whatever. Bring them to me. And Lord, I just release these to you because I was wrong when I made them. Forgive me. I'm telling you what, you can tear up the paper, you can burn it, you can bury it, you can do whatever type of deal you want. But I'm just asking you, don't make vows. The Bible's quite clear about, to those of us who make vows, you will never be totally free to live your life out as Christ would have you, with the vows in your heart and your life. So then we get to go on down, and what if I don't want to forgive? Ooh, ouchy, ouch. Or, I'm going to forgive them, but they don't really deserve it. Boy, we begin to make the judgment calls. I forgave them, but they really didn't seem to receive what I had to say. They really kind of took it like it wasn't even their deal. That isn't for you to carry. You go be sincere of heart. Ask forgiveness. Because here's what the scripture says about this. Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, when they hurt you, when they say things that aren't true about you, when they you put in there whatever you want. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow, we're in a pretty good predicament at that point. Now, I know you may be saying, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I've never been divorced, so I can't tell you what a divorce feels like from the male's perspective or in my home, and my parents weren't divorced. But the pain of that versus the pain of a lot of different things in our lives. I'm just asking you, do you want to be held captive or do you want to let them off your hook so God can put them on his? See, as long as you keep them captive on your hook, God's not going to do nothing there. Now, if they've done it to enough people, God finds justice eventually. We'll all stand before him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we'll all find ourselves there that day. But it's a whole lot simpler and quicker if you pull them off of that hook of yours and say, you know what, I forgive you for whatever you did to me, or please forgive me for whatever I did to you to cause this, and let it go where it goes, and then give it to God. We all have these. We have them some daily, some of them weekly, some of them have them, I don't know, whenever, you know. They can happen at any time, at the most unexpected times, where you'll have things in your life that'll come up and hurt you. But I want to make sure that when I ask the Father in heaven to forgive me of my sins, they're forgiven. So I want to keep my all accounts clean as possible. Now, if I have done wrong to anybody in this service, anybody in Cameraland, anybody that'll ever hear this, come and speak to me. I will definitely sit down and we'll have a conversation and I'll ask you to forgive me. I don't want that hanging on my heart. I don't want that hanging over me. I want to let these things go. Because the forgiveness is not for the others. It's for you. And if they decide that they're going to forgive, then they found a step in freedom on their own. So we want to give them every opportunity to be able to move on. Because when you can be forgiven, that is when you can be able to move on your next steps. And I'm just telling you, if you're stuck where you're at right now, I don't care what's happened to you right at this moment. If you're not forgiving and you're not asking the Lord in and you're not getting help, then you're going to be stuck at that point the next time we come and talk. You're going to be stuck there until you make a choice to let it loose and let it go. And that's about all the help that folks can give you. Except they give you a listening ear. They give you a heart of God. So, Mark 11:25, and whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you for your trespasses. Man, that's what we want. We want our Father's sins. All the things in there. And if it's just as simple, and I say this right here and now, if it's just as simple, but for you this morning, those may be tough words to listen to or to swallow. But I'm going to challenge you to those that are dead and gone and you're still holding things against, write them a letter. Give it to God. Those here today, there's someone in another state that you could write a letter to, write them a letter if it's here and now. You may send it, you may not. You may write it out and then burn it, but ask God to rule over it and care for your heart. See, God is so concerned about your heart, but he wants you to do the work of going in. My wife and I, we walked through a difficult thing here, and we're still walking through it. And so we had this huge meeting that we had set up with someone that just didn't want any more relationship with us. And so we prayed about it. I sought God, and he says, call them to the table, see if they'll come. And I did, and they said they'd come. We prayed, and we were ready, and we got there. And there was just no, I was ready to ask for forgiveness to move on, but there was no reconciliation. We couldn't get anywhere close to where we needed to be to ask for forgiveness. Couldn't even get to that spot to ask for forgiveness. Because every time the mouth opened on their side of the table, it was flooded with hate and anger, and I did, and you know what? I probably did. A lot of the things they were saying, I probably did. But it would have been so easy to have just been quiet for a moment and go, let's see what the old boy will respond with. And they might have just heard, hey, I'm sorry. Could you forgive me? I didn't even get the chance. So went away from there, and then I had another conversation. I mean, there was no resolution whatsoever, and there still isn't to this day. And so I'm going, all right, Lord, what do I do now? I got my sweet wife whose heart's broken. I'm not really heartbroken. I'm irritated. You know, I'm doing the man thing, I guess. I think that's what, guys, is that what we do? We just get irritated and growl and grumble? And yeah, okay. Thanks. I got an amen there so far. I like it. I did get a few chuckles. So, but my job was to guard my wife's heart and to lead us into a good place and to have many conversations. And if she wanted to weep, to hold her. I remember one time she says, man, I haven't been able to weep so long in so long. I think I got, my tears are all dammed up. And I love when God gives you that moment where he breaks that dam. And she can cry, and you can be there to hold and to console and to listen. Am I a great listener? Probably not. But I'm working on that. But just to be that to lead her and not feed kindling into a fire that could grow into this mad blaze that would do no one any good. And then we took it to God, laid things out. God, if this and this can happen, I says, but what do you want us to do? And he says, pray for him. Every day, pray for him. Now, I don't pray for him every day because I don't think about him every day. But I do pray for them every time they come to mind. And every time I look at my prayer list, I do pray for them. And I'm telling you what, I can pray and I can say their names, you know, out loud in prayer, and it doesn't have a lot of effect. But I am hoping for the day that God can bring and close that gap and we can walk together again. That'll be a great day for us. But you know what? The healthy thing, guys, is usually the hard thing to do. That meeting wasn't easy. I was right in my mind. Let's face it. Guy like me, y'all know me. I was right. I'm always right. Not right. But at that point, in my mind, in my heart, I was right. And God said, you can be right all day long that you want to be. But if you can't come to a place to go, hey, I'm sorry, whatever I did or whatever I, please forgive me, then you're wrong. What did Paul have to say? And I use this line a lot. All things are permissible. We can do all things, but they're not all profitable. So if you're stuck in the right camp, you may find you're on the wrong camp, you know? There is a time to be right, I get that, but it's not always. It's not always. I'm gonna give you a few names of people that you might know or read about that have been hurt. First one on my list was Jesus. Man, talk about somebody that was given the business and hurt, who should be able to talk about hurts. The second one on my list may surprise you. It's you. Everybody out here, each and every last one of you, that I look at your faces, you've been hurt at one time or other. You've been bumped, you've been bruised, you've been beat on. And I'm sorry that happened to you. And if you could forgive me for anything that I may have done against you, because I probably have. You know, I've been around here. I'm like one of the walls here. Within a few years, I'll be. And when you're around that long, you say things, you do things. And so let's start there. Forgive me. And if you need to talk further about it, my door is always open. I never want to hurt none of you. The next one I had on my list is me. Man, I've been beat. I've been bruised. I've been pushed around in life. I look at guys in the Bible. You know, their stories are done and gone, but man, their stories live on forever. David of the Bible. Yeah, he was a rascal at times, but he had some things that he had some hurts. I mean, the father-in-law, the king was throwing spears at him. I mean, if that don't wound you in the soul, I just don't know. Joseph of the Bible. Man, his brother sold him out. Threw him in the bottom pit. Yeah, he talked a lot. Yeah, he was a little braggart, little creep. We get that. But you know what? Did he deserve to be sold down the road and then come home and lie to dad about it? You know, not only was Joseph hurt, but dad took a pretty good wounding in the midst of that. And you know what else? The brothers. Each and every one of those brothers took a beating for what they did in their hearts. If you read the stories and watch and read between the lines, you see that they had to pay a price for that. Isaac, you know, Jacob says, hey, pack the wood on your back, son. We're going up and we're going to sacrifice to God. And he's got the knife and he's got the fire, and Isaac's carrying the wood, and he's looking around, and he goes, hey, Dad, where's the critter? God will provide. Hey, Dad, he gets up to the top of the mountain. Dad, where's the critter? God will provide. He straps the boy down on the altar, sets the fire, gets it ready. Hey, Dad, I think we forgot the critter here. And God will provide. Now, if any of us need counseling, Isaac needs counseling. Let's get real. I'd like to hear the rest of that story too. I mean, I'm wondering what kind of a conversation him and Dad had at the end of you were really gonna stick me with that knife? God'll provide, son. God'll provide. I mean, and of course we know the ram was in the thicket when we finished the story. God did provide. Another one, as I read my Bible reading this morning, was Samson. Now, Samson kind of asked for what he got at times, but he was still, man, he was played by the girl as he played the girl. You know, so maybe you can go back and forth there, but he was taken down the road and had some bumps, he was beat up. There we go. So there's a couple, three groups I want to talk about here this morning as I finish up here. This is not a full list, but these are three that as I was getting my stuff together. So we have those who are hurt in the camp, and we'll call them the settlers this morning. So they've settled in their hurt, they've settled in the things of life that have come upon them. And these may be things that your parents did to you. These may be things that another spouse did to you. These could be things that your brothers did to you or friends. But they not only settle there, they begin to take up residence. And they camp in it. And they recruit from within that spot. They'll recruit others to come and camp with them in there and grow. They build their walls and their case stronger and higher. You ever met somebody like this that camps in there? If you haven't, be careful that you don't get sucked in. They isolate from others. That could bring them a wonderful perspective. Now, because you're a Christian son and daughter, because you're just a good person, you're sitting down listening, that doesn't mean you can't disagree with someone who's in the midst of their pain. But it does not mean that you can't bring a different view into what they're going through. Bring some truth into it. They may not like the truth at the moment, but the verse that talks about the truth will set you free, it doesn't say immediately. It just says the truth will set you free. And sometimes it takes a while to plant that seed of truth and for it to grow. And you may be in the middle of the night. You may be the first thing in the morning or the last thing at night that God's talking to you. And the truth of what they said comes up and says, yeah, man, I'm only damaging myself here. I'm only digging myself in here. I begin to settle in this camp. And I've known people. I've known a man and a woman that got divorced. I've known them for a lot of years. And as they separated and had their divorce, she hung on to the pain of what the divorce did. He moved on. Now, I'm not saying which one was right or wrong. That's neither here nor there. But he moved on. She didn't. And you know what she's mad about when you get down to it and you talk to her? She's mad that he was able to move on and leave her behind. All he'd have to do is come back and possibly ask for forgiveness for leaving her behind. Ask for forgiveness for the pain. I don't know. We've talked about this a couple of times. But you can't even get them together so they can even talk. But it's interesting how he went on to live. Now, divorce ain't good in any way, shape, or form, but it happens, okay? And so I'm not condemning. Please don't hear condemnation in any way. I'm just going, if you've been in a divorce and things have happened, get off the old clothes of victimization. Put on the cloak of I am free. And I'm telling you what, things are going to start opening up. You're going to see things different. Life is going to be different. There's many ways we can go down that. The next ones I want to talk about is the stuffers. They won't talk to trusted people because they are lone islands. They're lone wolves. Lone Wolf McQuade. Anybody ever see that movie? That was a good old movie. The old Dodge truck gets a lot. Anyways, I won't go into that. They stop outwardly trusting others. They just won't even. No, they live with their arms locked. Every place they go, even to those in their home, their arms are locked, and they've just stuffed everything down inside. They turn the pain inside, and they actually damage self when they do that. People who stuff all their feelings and don't have a good relationship across the table with others. People who stuff everything in and can't. And I know there's some of you, I hear it a lot, is I'm not a confronter. Well, don't confront then. Let's just talk. Let's not have a battle. Let's just go, when you did this, I felt this way. When you said that, this is what I felt you were saying. Is that what you were saying? Find a new way, but come back and let's clean this up so that you can move on. Again, did you hear me earlier? Every last one of us will get into heaven with this stuff, but we're going to be asked, what did you do with your life? Seemed like you sat in the mud with it, with all this hurt and this pain upon you, and I was giving you ways out. So those that are stuffers, they will pick up socially acceptable addictions. And we're real good at it. Eating's a very socially acceptable. Some go to smoking cigars at night or having a few drinks just to get the edge off, you know. There's a lot of different addictive behaviors I could talk about, but what I'm really after is we will go to something to medicate our pain, whether it be alcohol, sex, drugs, food, you name it. We'll go in that area to do that. Then the third one I want to talk about this morning is the overcomers, and that's the camp I would like you all to move into. There's lots of room. There's places to spread out. And it's time you begin to overcome the thing that the enemy wants to hold you back. See, once the enemy gets you caught here, he doesn't really have to do a whole lot more. You'll do the work for him. You will actually build the case, and you'll hang on to it, and you'll hire lawyers for it. You'll do the whole nine yards in your heart and soul and spirit. And he doesn't have to do anything more. He's got you bound. And as long as he's got you bound here, he can continue to drag you down. Holy Spirit, you down into the pit even further. But the overcomers, they take it to the Holy Spirit. They go, hey, Holy Spirit, I had a problem today. Got a phone call the other day that stopped me in my tracks. And so I'm talking to the guy on the phone, and my spirit's very uncomfortable. And I want to give him 3 cents of my mind, but I only got 2 in my pocket, so he isn't going to get all 3. So I just let that go. And as I'm talking to him, I go, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I mean, now. I need something because I'm in a bad spot. So my wife saw me. She saw where I went from here. She heard me on the phone. She didn't hear both sides, but she just saw. And she says, wow, you better take that to the Lord. I said, I've already been there, been doing that. And it took about 2 hours for me to bring it all down and to get on a page where I'm going, you know, I can't want it worse than they do. I can't force them to do it, you know. And I had to walk through all of the steps. If I did that, then I could let them go. Then I could see, if I can't say your name, I'm offended at you. If I can't pray for you and say your name out loud, I'm probably offended at you. But when I can say your name out loud and pray, for me, that's just another stamp of I'm free from this today. See, and I ask God to show me those things because I like to know when I'm truly free. But the Holy Spirit we seek, we ask forgiveness for self and others. These people thrive and learn from the difficult situation so that we not only learn for ourselves, but we can help others along the way. Guys, you are going to run into people who are stuck the rest of your lives. Help them out of the ditch and walk them on down the road. You may be what they need for this season, for right here, right now. And the things you're walking through in life, you'd be surprised what you can bring to the table of that. And see, God has these divine hookups with people when it comes to having coffee and breaking things free. You go, man, I ain't got nothing in common with this guy. Why you even got me here, God? And it's so amazing how you were the perfect person or they were the perfect person for you at that moment, at that time, to find freedom. And then these people, the overcomers, they also walk in freedom. And because their heads held up high, they're looking out and they're seeing. Don't hold their head high who are always sucking oatmeal out of a gas tank or who are always Eeyores. Your eyes are always on the ground. You're not looking up. You're pretty good at finding the pennies on the ground. The interesting thing about pennies on the ground, and I've done this time and time, if it's turned upside down, those that are suspicious, superstitious, they won't pick them up. I'm going, that's a penny that they just walked over. So I will. I'll pick them up. I ain't worried about that. So I watch these guys walk right over. They'll pick up the next one, but they won't pick that one up because they're superstitious. But God's on my side. I don't have to worry about their superstition. So a few parting thoughts before we go here. You must feel to heal. See, guys like me, we like these words that kind of go, feel to heal, you know. But it's true. You must feel what's going on inside to be able to heal and move on. Now, I want you to live in the present, here and now, under God's terms, future. So if you're living good here today, you're going to carry that trend on out. If you're living present in the past, and you've never settled the past, you're going to be dragging that boat anchor through the woods. You ever walk through the thickets? Well, drag a boat anchor behind you through the thickets tied off to you. You're gonna be one irritated puppy at the end of just moments. So cut the past loose. Go in there and deal with the pain. Bury the things that need to be buried. Resurrect the things that need to be resurrected. But now live here into the future. And that future with God is freedom at all must. We must face the pain and hurts of our lives to live a life of present future on God's terms. If we don't face the pain, we will medicate the pain. We'll medicate with rage and anger. That was me. I had everybody out to hear. I didn't need anybody. I was an island unto myself back in the days. We will medicate with a spirit of vengeance. We will get even. We'll find a way. We'll find a time. Or we'll have a spirit of victimization so that you'll never get up. The enemy will use this and he will pound you. You'll be a victim at every corner. And it's time we break these things off, folks. It's time we get away from that. So I'm going to ask Glenn to come up. He's going to play and the team, and they're going to play one more song. If we have any ministry team folks, we'll come up. And all these ministry team, if you want to talk to somebody today, come on up and talk. If you want to get something off your heart, that's what they're trusted. They're here for you, and they come up for that. Don't look like I got a whole lot of them in the house here this morning, so I got one. Do I have two? I can do an auction here. So we're going to let the worship team play through music here this morning. If you want to talk to one of these ladies here, I can be here if a guy needs to talk. And then in a few moments, we'll release you and let you go for the day. Thank you very much.